Our gospel reading this morning is from the book of John, beginning with verse 12 of chapter 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. For as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. May God continue to bless our understanding of this sacred text. Will you pray with me? O gracious and loving God, may the meditations of all our hearts and minds and our very souls be pleasing unto you this day and forevermore. Amen. Well, I had to wonder if the creators of our sermon series this Lent considered other names. Wandering Heart is quite lovely, of course, but as I reviewed the stories of Peter that we visited the past several weeks, I wonder if they considered calling this series, "Oh, now I get it," Peter's journey from confusion to understanding. In these stories, Peter often fails to actually grasp the full understanding of what Jesus is trying to teach him, but followed by these aha moments, "Oh, now I get it." We recall that fisherman Simon meets Jesus on the shore after a tiring day of failing to catch any fish, and Jesus asks him to take him back out onto the Sea of Galilee. Peter can't understand this request when he knows that Jesus just isn't going to catch anything. But then he does, more fish than he even knows what to do with. And Simon, soon to be called Peter, must have said, "Aha, now I get it. This Jesus is someone special. I think I'll follow him." Well, next we heard the story of Peter being out on the sea once more, and he takes this huge leap of faith and joins Jesus walking on water. But a storm comes up that shakes his trust, and he begins to sink. And Jesus has to remind him again to keep the faith. "Aha," Peter must have said to himself, "now I get it." Peter's faith grows and finally recognizes Jesus for exactly who he is, not just some special prophet, but the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus blesses him for his belief. But shortly thereafter, Jesus tells Peter he must go to Jerusalem where he will suffer and die. But Peter doesn't hear the part of the story that Jesus will be raised. It won't be until he has encountered the risen Christ that Peter will have his ultimate aha moment, when all that Jesus has tried to tell him comes true. And now here we are on the parade route when Jesus makes his triumphal entrance, and the scripture tells us the disciples, with Peter among them, still did not understand what was happening at first. It was only after Jesus was glorified did they remember all these things had been written about him and had been done to him. Well, after Jesus leaves them, I imagine the disciples gathered around a campfire comparing notes, and I can just hear their collective, "Oh, now I get it." Well, I've wanted to shake some sense into Peter throughout these stories. I want him to be a better listener. I want him to trust Jesus more when he tells him to walk on water. And of course, I want Peter to be a better disciple because I want to be a better disciple, because Peter's story is our story. In Peter, we see ourselves, a very typical human, just trying to figure it all out. But of course, we also have an advantage that Peter did not. Our lens for all of these stories is one of knowing how the story ends. We know about the resurrection. We know it's all going to be all right. But Peter is running a bit scared, and not until he's able to look back in hindsight does he really begin to understand it all. This week, the holiest of weeks, we'll hear what I've always thought is the most heart-wrenching story about Peter. Gathered at the table, Jesus will tell him that he will betray him before the cock crows. Peter denies it, of course, but then he will, in fact, deny even knowing Jesus. It's a story of our human nature, wanting first and foremost to save ourselves. And it's a story of Christ's abundant grace, because in spite of all of Peter's shortcomings, Jesus forgives him and loves him. And that is our story as well. As I was reflecting on Peter's journey of faith this week, I was reminded that, like Peter, I don't always fully comprehend the complete meaning of something until I have the benefit of looking back. As the saying goes, hindsight is often 20/20. How many times have you said to yourself, if only I knew then what I know now, I would have been so much wiser and hopefully made better decisions? And as I was reflecting on my occasional frustration with Peter, it reminded me that before I jump to conclusions about situations or my fellow human beings, I need to consider what part of the story I don't know, or what have I failed to listen to. Case in point, several members of our congregation have become pen pals to inmates throughout the state of Illinois. When we're assigned our pal, we're not told much about their background or even what the crime was that landed them in the penitentiary. Well, I've been exchanging letters with my pen pal for several months now. He writes interesting letters about books that he's writing. In fact, he spends most of his day researching history and details about locations where he places his characters in his stories. His letters are full of excerpts from some of his books. He has shared very little about his personal story, though, and I've been slow to ask, thinking maybe at some point he'll be willing or vulnerable enough to share. But I made the mistake of looking up his date of birth on the Department of Corrections website, thinking it would be nice to know so I could send him a birthday card. But the website listed his criminal record, which is extensive. I learned that he was originally sentenced to the death penalty until the law changed and he was sentenced to life in prison. And then I made the mistake of looking up the news articles about his crimes. They were heinous. I was really sorry I had gone down that rabbit hole. But reading Peter's story again this week reminded me that I do not know this man's entire story. In fact, I know very little. I don't know anything about how he was raised, what his parents were like, what if any, mental health issues he might have, what, if any, trauma he experienced himself growing up. And I don't know what his story has been for all these years after he was sentenced until today. But what I do know is that Jesus has forgiven him and expects me to try and love him as my neighbor. Well, it sounds so simple, doesn't it? But we know it's not, especially when it comes to forgiving and loving someone who has harmed us personally. But Jesus wants to remember all of his teachings, especially the one about love and forgiveness. When the disciples looked back on all that Jesus has taught them, and they have all these aha moments, I wonder what they remembered the most. I wonder which of Jesus' teachings had the most profound impact on them. As they went out to teach, I wonder which stories were their favorite to share. And of course, it is remembering that Jesus asks us to do every time we come to the table. I wonder what you'll remember about what we've learned through Peter's experiences. I wonder what your favorite stories of Jesus are and what you remember about him when you share the bread and the cup. And as we look back over our faith journey to this point, what else do we want to learn? What is the rest of our story? What is Jesus still trying to teach us? Well, the Reverend Sarah Speed wrote this beautiful poem for us to reflect on this very thing. Her poem is titled, Teach Me. Teach me about the ways of the wind. about the ways of the world, about the ways of the heart. Teach me about the soft crook of my lover's arm and the way two souls can hold each other close. Teach me about forgiveness, about the language of I'm sorry, and the softness of sincerity. Teach me about abundance, about 70 times 7 and all the days of my life. Teach me about joy, about its contagious weaving and its soul healing. Teach me about mercy, about open hands and deep breaths. Teach me about the dawn of time and the stars and the sky. Teach me what matters most. Teach me what is mine to do. Teach this achingly curious heart until I run out of questions or I run out of days. Teach me some melodious sonnet, and I will have a life well lived. How lovely that, like the disciples, we can find clarity by looking back and seeing with clearer vision. And how lovely that as disciples ourselves, we are always learning, and there is always more truth yet to be revealed. How lovely that Jesus continues to teach us and forgives and loves us all along the way. What is your achingly curious heart wanting to learn more about? What are your favorite encounters with Jesus? As we begin this very holy week, what will we pay attention to so that we don't miss a moment of the story, so that we won't have to look back in hindsight and wish we had paid better attention along the way? I truly believe that if we have the courage to walk with Jesus through this dreadful week, that our aha, oh, now I get it, on Easter Sunday will be even more profound. May it be so. Amen. Let us be called to confession. The Gospel of John tells us that the crowds gathered to praise Jesus as he entered Jerusalem, singing and shouting with confidence. But within a few days, Peter will deny knowing him, Judas will betray him, and the crowd will be shouting, "Crucify him!" Sometimes we understand God's presence in our lives and want to shout it from the rooftop. Sometimes we're standing on the side of the parade, missing our chance to sing. Or sometimes we turn our back when public opinion changes course. And so will you join me in this prayer of confession? Holy God, we want to run into the streets and sing your praise. We want to be bold and unashamed of this good news gospel. However, too often we find ourselves standing against the wall. Too often we stay quiet. Too often we let others carry the song. Forgive us for the moments when we could lead the parade, but instead find ourselves standing on the sidelines. Show us which songs are ours to sing. Show us which parades are ours to lead, and then give us the courage and conviction to do both. With hope and honesty, we pray. Amen. Receive these words of assurance. Friends, no matter where you are on the parade route, whether you are waving palm branches through the streets or standing against the wall, quiet and cautious, Jesus marched for you. Jesus' love, his striving for justice and mercy, it was for you. You are included in this story, and nothing can ever change that. So hear these words and trust them deep in your bones. We have reason to sing, for Jesus Christ loves you yesterday, Jesus Christ loves you today, and Jesus Christ will love you tomorrow. You are forgiven, claimed, and sent to serve. Go out and sing. Go out trusting these words. Amen.